Welcome to this podcast of sermons from University Christian Church, Disciples of Christ in Fort Worth, Texas. UCC is a community of faith where all are welcome, where we worship in a spirit of togetherness, where we embrace curiosity, community, and compassion. We don't claim to have all the answers, nor do we expect you to check your brain at the door, but rather we gather together to find the courage to engage the scriptures and to ask the big questions about who we are as people of faith, and who God is calling us to be. At UCC, we seek the sacred, commit to love, and empower to serve. And in so doing, we work together to transform the world through Christ's courageous love. My name is Reverend Dr. Russ Peterman, and I'm the senior minister here at UCC, and so most of these sermons are from me. So the lectionary text this morning on this Thanksgiving Sunday is from the sixth chapter of John's Gospel, where we pick up the story. It's still somewhat early in the story, but word is getting out about Jesus. Just prior to this story, Jesus had turned water into wine at a wedding. He had healed the son of a royal official. He had fed 5,000 people with only a few loaves of bread and a couple of fish. He had walked on water in front of his disciples. And those that had seen what he had been doing had seen enough to know that whatever it is that he had, that they wanted more of that. Either that, or they at least wanted a repeat performance so that they could be sure that they had seen what they thought that they had really seen. Now the word got out that Jesus had gotten on a boat and traveled across the Sea of Galilee. And so the crowd that had been there when he fed the 5,000 that had eaten their fill, they too got in their boats and went across to Capernaum looking for him. And when they finally caught up with him, this is how that encounter went.
From the Gospel of John, chapter 6, verses 24 through 35, here begins the reading. So when the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they themselves got into the boats and went to Capernaum looking for Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered them, "Very truly I tell you, you are looking for me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures the eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For it is on him that God the Father has set his seal." Then they said to him, "What must we do to perform the works of God?" Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him who he has sent." So they said to him, "What sign are you going to give us then? So what may we see it and believe you? What work are you performing? Our ancestors ate the manna of wilderness, and as is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Then Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but it was my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." And Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whomever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." The word of God for the people of God.
There we go. So I know that many of you will be gathering with family this week, surrounding yourselves with love and support, and I know how fun that can be, but I also know that for some of us it can be stressful, especially in these precarious times, you might say.
In fact, I talked to somebody this last week who said that he figured out the best way to save money on Christmas presents this year would be to bring up politics at Thanksgiving. He says, half of my family won't talk to me by Christmas. I'm sure of it. Think of all the money that I will save. There is something so appropriate about coming together on the week of Thanksgiving to drop all that we're doing, all of the preparations, all of the running and the traveling, and simply come to this place and to be still and to give thanks for the whole of our lives. I recognize that's not always easy to do. For many of us, this time of year brings to our remembrance all of the things that are different this year, all of the things that we are missing. Maybe it's a job or a child, parent, spouse, a friend. Or maybe it's something deeper. We're missing happiness or wholeness or contentment. Maybe it's a sense of purpose in our lives. You know, here we are, despite the strong economy, the nation is deeply divided over this impeachment process. And I know of several families that have been dealing with difficult diagnoses recently. For many, this has been a hard year. Not necessarily harder than others, but still hard nonetheless. Back during the dark days of the Depression, there was a group of clergy up in the Northeast that got together. And they were trying to figure out, and they began to discuss how they should conduct their Thanksgiving services. Things were about as bad as they could be. There were no signs of relief on the horizon. The bread lines were depressingly long. The stock market had plummeted, and the term Great Depression seemed to be an apt description of the way people were feeling and the mood of the country. And so this group of ministers got together and started thinking that maybe the best thing to do this year was just lightly touch on the subject of Thanksgiving, in just sort of reverence and understanding and compassion to all of the human misery that was all around them. But after listening for a while, one of them spoke up. This was not the time, he suggested. This was not the time to just give a mere passing mention to Thanksgiving. In fact, he said, I think the exact opposite is needed. This was the time for the nation to get matters into perspective and to thank God for the blessings that are always present, but sometimes suppressed or hidden due to the hardship that is all around us. And I think he's right. I think the most intense moments of thankfulness and gratitude in our lives are often found not in times of plenty when things are going great, but when the difficulties of life surround us. Think of those pilgrims on that very first Thanksgiving. Half of their people were dead. They were without a home. They had no country to call their own. But still, in the midst of all that, there was thanksgiving to God. Their gratitude, you see, was not for something. Their gratitude was in something. Now, there's an old story that some of you have heard. And there are many versions that maybe you have heard. My version goes a little bit like this. There was a tired, weary traveler that was riding his tired horse on a backcountry road, and it was getting late in the day, and he was tired, he was hungry, and he saw in the distance a village, and he thought to himself, maybe there I'll be able to find a place that I can get a bite to eat and maybe a place to sleep. But just as he was thinking that, his horse stumbled a little bit and threw him into the dirt, and as he got up and brushed himself off, he noticed that there was this stone, this rock that was in the middle of the path, and that's what his horse had tripped on. And so he dug up the stone so that no one else would trip on the same rock. But as he pulled it out of the ground, he noticed that it was beautiful. It was almost perfectly round, incredibly smooth, and beautiful colors. And so rather than just sort of tossing it aside, he put it in a saddlebag to keep for another day. And he got back on his horse and he rode into the village. And as he rode into the village, he noticed all of the people were stopped what they were doing and just sort of look at them. And he would wave and say hi, but they didn't respond. Finally, he came to a woman's home and he said, "Excuse me, I've been traveling for days and I'm very hungry. By any chance, might you have a little something that I can eat?" And the woman shook her head and said, "No, the harvest has been difficult this year. I don't know that I have enough to feed you, let alone my family." And she entered into her house and closed the door behind her almost mid-sentence. He continued on a little bit forward and came across a man working on his wagon. He said, "Excuse me, good sir, might you have a place at your table for a weary traveler?" And he said, "It hasn't rained for 30 days before the harvest. We don't have enough for you, let alone for anyone else." The weary traveler continued on until he got to the village square where he dismounted his horse and sat beneath a tree. And he thought to himself, "These poor people, within a few weeks, they will be as hungry as I am." And it was in that moment that he had an idea. And he thought to himself, and he got up, and he went over to his saddlebag, and he pulled out that stone and stood there in the middle of town square, and he held it up, and he said, "Good people of this lovely village, I have good news for you on this day, for I have a magic stone, and it makes stone soup. Come, let us have a feast." Well, by now the people around him started grumbling, "Stone soup? They'd never heard of anything like that." And he said, "Is there anybody here that might have a large pot that we can use?" And pretty soon somebody came with a ginormous pot and a wheelbarrow. It was the biggest pot that he had ever seen. He thought to himself, "Well, it's a little small, but it'll do. What we need for stone soup," he said, "is some water and a fire to cook." And pretty soon somebody came with a barrel of water and a few logs. And they placed this pot filled with water over this roaring fire. "Stone soup," he said, "it needs a little salt and pepper." And pretty soon some children ran off and got salt and pepper. And they began to season the water. He then took this stone and with pageantry he came and placed it into the pot. "Stone soup," he said, "is the best thing that you'll ever have. Not only will it feed you, it has the magic ability to bring people together." He said, "Stone soup is delicious. But it's always just a little bit better," he said, "if you have some carrots for the soup." And pretty soon someone in the back said, "I have a few carrots we can spare," and sent off his daughter, and his daughter came back in just a few moments with an apron full of carrots. And as this weary traveler started to cut and to slice the carrots with his hunter's knife, he said, "You know, the last time that I had stone soup, it was at the home of a very wealthy man. And he gave meat and potatoes." And pretty soon all of the people says, "Did you hear what he said? If we have meat and potatoes, we can eat like rich people." And pretty soon somebody ran off and came back in just a few moments with some beef and potatoes. And somebody else came back with milk and barley, some onions and some cabbage. Pretty soon, as it got towards the end of the day, that soup was the best-selling smelling soup that they had ever smelt in their entire life. And finally, the weary traveler took a taste and said, "I think it's ready." And they all brought spoons and bowls, and they all ate their fill. And there was still some left. And as they sat and celebrated, somebody went and got a fiddle and began to play, and they sang and they danced through the rest of the night. It was an amazing party and a great celebration. The next morning, as it came time for him to mount up, the weary traveler, who was no longer weary, was getting on his horse, and a little boy came and said, "Sir, good sir, you've forgotten your stone." And he said, "You know what, good people of this village, I'm going to leave it for you as a sign of gratitude for your hospitality, for your generosity. And know that as the winter comes, that you can always make stone soup. And if you do that, no one will ever be hungry." And as he rode off down the road, a grandfather who had his arm around his granddaughter said, "Do you remember what that man said about the magic of stone soup?" And his daughter, with a big smile, said, "Not only will we have enough to eat, but it has the ability to bring people together." We come on this day to gather around this table to celebrate the goodness of God, all that God has given us as people of faith, the sea and the sky, the earth, and all of the bounty in it. The truth is that some of us have a little and some of us have a lot, but all of us come to this place with armloads of blessings and recognize that those blessings of God are to come not to us, but through us. And that's why we gather together on this day, and we recognize that some of us will go to the gallery after service and we will write a check for a turkey that will go to a hungry family that may not have the ability to have a Thanksgiving meal. And that's why some of us will go after service to the gallery where we will sign up to send a care package to a student that is away at college as they prepare for finals. And that's why many of us have already circled December 8th at 5 o'clock on our calendars, so that we can come be a part of the Christmas Angels Rap Night, where we will gather together as a congregation, a community of faith, young and old together, and we will fill bags of gifts for 400 Fort Worth ISD students, that they may have the best Christmas they've ever had. You see, Thanksgiving is not just about giving thanks, it's not just about sharing. It's about recognizing that all of us have been blessed beyond our wildest imaginations. Thanksgiving is not just about sharing, it's not just about giving thanks, it's also about trust and faith. Trust that God will continue to bless us, that God will continue to give us everything that we need in this world. And the faith to believe that those gifts come from God. Friends, as we go forth from this place, as we celebrate Thanksgiving wherever we may go, with whomever we may serve, may we know of the goodness and the grace that is all around us. May we also always remember that even our hunger will come in many different shapes and forms, that some will be hungry for bread and food, and some may be hungry for love and acceptance and belonging. But whatever it is that we are hungry for, that God blesses us with armloads of blessings. For it was Jesus himself who said, "I am the bread of life. Come to me and never be hungry. Believe in me and never be thirsty again." Amen.
So thanks for listening. I do hope and pray that you found this sermon to be engaging and thoughtful and inspiring and maybe even a little challenging. I also hope that if you get the chance to join us on Sunday mornings in our sanctuary, you will. I think you'll find the welcome warm and inviting, the music inspiring, and there will always be a place at the table for you, regardless of who you are or where you come from or where you are on your spiritual journey. Just know that you're welcome here. And if you'd like to support the production of this podcast and the ongoing mission and ministry of UCC, or to simply find out more about this community of faith, we invite you to go to universitychristian.org. Grace and peace to you.